Johnny wanted to know what the devil he had done now. And it seemed there was a below sea level spot in the dry wasteland of the Sahara Desert. So they let the Mediterranean in and made a new sea that would furnish rainfall. And they had machine gun planted 85 quadrillion trees there, and also in the Middle East, where they wouldn't require much water. Good varieties, slow growing, but very tasty. And they'd planted another 16 quadrillion in the Middle West of the American continent. Oh, Johnny hadn't seen that part of the continent? Well, there used to be trees on that huge, central flat plain. They could prove it by fossil remains. Anyway, he was sorry if it had changed the climate. But it usually did, you know. Cleaned up the air, too. Johnny wanted to know how spending that much money and hiring that new army of Chataverians was going to make a profit. And the general manager showed him the balance sheets now. They were all in the black. They were exporting food trees to food-short Chataverian planets. Johnny forgave him, raised his pay, and went home to a very late Sunday dinner. Another incident worthy of note happened about that time. Johnny, wearing an extraterrestrial atmosphere mask to keep from being stopped on the street and gathering crowds, attended a fair in Zurich, and there he saw Pierre Solens. The ex-pilot was in beggar's rags and holding forth to an audience about how he, personally, with his own eyes, had seen Johnny Goodboy Tyler walk on a cloud and, not only that, pull a demon out of it and sing a duet with him. When he had finished his story, he passed around a battered cup for offerings. It seemed he made his living this way. When he got to Johnny, Johnny pulled his mask down, and Pierre nearly fainted again. There were so many exaggerations and lies going around about Johnny that he figured he didn't need another one. So he forced Pierre into a plane, took him right down to Africa, and made him get into another plane at Victoria and by himself fly it up to the peak where the cyclocadavers still lay in the snow. Land, look, fly back down through the overcast, and land. Pierre made it without wrecking himself, and Johnny took him back to Luxembourg. Pierre said,
"Thank you."
And he meant it. He went back to his old job of moving the compound planes around the hangar, and in time, became an acceptable pilot. There was a bizarre incident that occurred in Edinburgh. The sarcophagus of Biddy MacLeod had been miraculously preserved in the bombings. Three beams of the collapsing cathedral had fallen across it almost protectively. The Chataverians had repositioned it in the new cathedral crypt in a row of dead war heroes, which included Glencannon's recovered remains. When she was 16, Patty demanded that she be taken to the crypt and married to Biddy MacLeod. Nothing could dissuade her, and she stood there beside the sarcophagus in a white wedding dress, holding Biddy's locket with "To My Future Wife" on it. The parson, who could find no law against it, went through the wedding ceremony. She then changed to widow's weeds, and after that called herself Mrs. Patty MacLeod. Still continuing with her medical training, she founded the MacLeod Intergalactic Health Organization. Johnny funded it, and it became a standard stop point on and off all firing platforms throughout the galaxies. It also provided instant medical service.